Blog Talk Radio.
CWCC's show. I guess we're not one of the most greatest moments for us, but we're going to celebrate and talk with some of our callers and my co-host and brother from out of Nashville, Mr. Mario Coleman. We're going to talk about Choco Mbamba, the mayor of the city of Jackson, who was a personal hero of mine that passed last Tuesday, and on February 25th, 2014. And so, Mario, welcome, man, to the show. We just got a lot to chat about tonight. And, you know, we're talking about a great American politician, a lawyer, a mayor. Born in the city of Detroit, part of the, as they say, the radical movement, you know, of helping our people, people of color, black folks, or people in low-income areas. Welcome, Mario. What's going on down in Nashville?
Oh, nothing, man. Just trying to stay warm. You know, the weather's being kind of radical down here. I'm glad to have an opportunity to speak and to be a part of this tribute to this brother. I happen to have heard the news about it a couple of days ago. I don't personally know about him, you know, per se, but, you know, I've been hearing about his legacy, so it's great to have individuals. I mean, it's sad that they leave before that time, but, you know, that his body of work, what he's done for the community, has definitely made an impact on his constituents, and that's the most important thing, you know what I mean? So, hate to hear that he's gone, but definitely have the keeping the brother in my his family in our prayers, and just have the most respect for what he's been able to do for the time he's been down here.
You know, I think as a black man, I'm just so proud to have somebody like you in my life to be able to share with us things that you all only can feel and only you can think. I always say a man can, you know, only a man can raise a man. Only a man can teach a man. And so I know he's a little bit older than both of us, but you look at where he came from and exactly, you know, the platform he took as a man and leading by example. I got a call in from Chet Shakur, the Shakur family, and she told me it was all right to quote her, quote you guys this. Over the next 30 days, we're going to be talking to quite a bit of people from all parts and walks of life, but she said he created a life that they all talked about. The family is very deeply stricken by this, and I had a long talk with her. She's out in California, it's just so unreal and surreal to be able to be in this place. How, you know, you always tell me we always are connected to different people. You know, as my question was, as a black man growing up in Chicago, understanding this plight to fight back and to protect your family and be the protector in which God anointed you all to be, you know, over all dominion. How did that make you feel? Because I kind of overestimated how old you really were. And I asked you, did you remember him? You were like, no, I was 7.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, how do you remember it? I mean, what's your feeling about watching this man rise from an era to a point where, you know, where he stands at, you know, where he stood toward the end of his life?
I mean, you always think of one black man to another. There's always, I guess, one victory. In some way, is a victory for all of us in that mindset, in that, you know, that particular what is the word I'm looking for? I guess spirit of righteousness and integrity. You know, so I'm definitely proud of him, the accomplishments he's made, and like I said, when one soldier wins, you know, all the soldiers win, kind of, sort of, you know. So it's a great thing that to see these brothers come through the adversity that they had to come through back in the day, and to emerge victorious, especially in, you know, southern states like Mississippi, where, you know, it wasn't nothing nice back in the day. So, you definitely want to celebrate the brothers for all those accomplishments that he made, and just know that he left the world a better place than what it was when he came in, you know, because it's in our work, being able to impact people is what we do, and just the lessons that we leave them with changes their lives, changes their philosophies, and it allows them to be able to maybe change the next person's way of thinking and conducting and understanding, and giving them a degree of wisdom that they didn't have prior to meeting us. And that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, leaving legacies behind, that change people's lives forever.
So growing up in the, I was asking you earlier, growing up in the city of Chicago, the type of programs that that were out there, where you know, these men like Mr. LaBamba, you know, just directly affected your just sense of understanding growing up in the city. You mentioned that they were, you know, they were feeding the children, and it all started off with was it feeding kids or was it educating children?
It was a little bit of everything, but it was kind of like a lunch program that they were doing and feeding people in the community in Oakland. That's kind of like how it all started out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a need that wasn't being provided by the government, so they kind of took matters into their own hands and did what they needed to do. And I guess it goes back to, you know, the warriors protecting the village, you know, doing what they had to do against all odds. You know, the tragic thing is that it was kind of mistaken for something else by individuals that it had ulterior motives, you know. But, you know, you see that as a young black man, and you realize that, to me, it was, I guess, if you have some degree of warrior in you, you can relate to that. And it's like, well, you know, they stood up for themselves. I'm going to stand up for myself, you know. So we had those examples to emulate and to kind of soak into our psyches. So we could be, you know, those warriors or whatever. Because, you know, me, I don't go looking for anything. But, you know, it meets me. Depending on the circumstances, I'm not one to back down either, you know. So it's just those things. And then when we encounter, like I said, younger brothers or whatever, you know, it's that desire, it's that strength, it's that courage that we're able to pass on to them and allow them and hopefully help them to navigate through some of this madness out here. But the struggle still remains. I mean, you can see that with our president and some of the things that he has to go through just in order to take care, you know, to get bills passed, to take care of American citizens, you know. So the challenges of being a black man out here are still our burden to bear, but, you know, this is the only place we got. So we got to do the best we can with what we have.
You know, I know that you've been involved with a lot of stuff, Mario, just kind of let my listeners know, let our listeners know that, you know, you yourself, you know, have just continued to roll up your sleeves and allow other young men a platform on anything you do. I mean, from what you do in your as an artist, as a musician, as an instructor, as a father, as a black man, you know, as, you know, the one of the founders of several nonprofit organizations from Atlanta all the way to Nashville. I mean, you have, you know, I guess a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of good black men out here. That's what I'm trying to evade to, and that you all are never given that credit in regards to what it takes to be that man. And like you said, that legacy that Mr. LaBamba has left is a platform for the next man to leap off and do some things. Let me get into something real quick. You know, I was looking at this. They said they were talking about the new radical black mayor of Jackson. Obama is a former leader of the Republic of New Africa, dedicated to transforming South into an independent socialist black nation. Now, this is something that happened back in the 70s or the 60s, early 60s or 70s. How radical can that be to think about here in Mississippi, where, you know, there was a lot of conflict and racial tension, and then when a person decides to stand up and say, I'm going to be, you got white supremacy, why can't I have black supremacy? But white supremacy has been around since we got off the boat. But yet when black supremacy comes and he's raising his fist to salute during the ceremony that he had less than a year ago, that's a radical person. How do you relate that? I mean, how does that can be related one to the other? To me, it doesn't have any merit. It's all right that you can have a hood on and call a black man that's supposed to be the president of the United States, Obama, but in the same vow, you can't say President Obama. But I mean, what's radical about that? What do you think about that?
It's all hypocrisy. You know, basically, like you said, as long as they do it, it's okay. But if we do it, then, you know, there's a problem, because we're supposed to maintain this subservient role and be passive and just take whatever that certain individuals or that mindset feel that we're supposed to take. But, you know, but for me, that's just their problem to bear, because everybody ain't going down like that. I know I'm not. And they got a problem, then, you know, there's some people that are willing to meet them and then deal with it as such. But, you know, not necessarily in a violent way, but in a way that it shows them that, you know, we are intelligent, we are capable of leading, we are capable of being functioning citizens and contributors to this society, because we always have been. You know, our contributions just haven't been documented in their history books. But we've been contributing ever since we've been here. There's several major inventions that lend themselves to the mobilization of our society, you know, from elevators. I mean, without the elevator, you can have skyscrapers. So just think how many people have been put to work just based on that invention alone, the refrigeration system. I mean, you know, you have cars, you have trucks, you have trains. All these things utilize this technology in order to transport food and goods all across the United States, all across the world. You know, so open heart surgery, I mean, there's just so many inventions or so many situations that we've been a part of that have made us contributors, or, you know. And so for me, hypocrisy is just really a part of human nature. I mean, you know, it's just like it was hypocrisy that killed Jesus. You know what I mean? Came down here as supposedly, you know, to save the world, and it was the world that killed him. So it's just a metaphor for the hypocrisy that exists on a day-to-day basis. So nothing new. It's just really understanding who they are, where they are, and creating a strategy to be able to navigate through the madness. But this here, we just have to find alternate ways to what we have to do in order to maintain.
You know, that's an awesome thing. I was just reading something else about Mayor Chokwe Labamba. He was born in Detroit at Edwin Finley Telefair. They said he was a radical activist and co-founder of Malcolm X grassroots movement. He's also been praised by the Nation of Islam, who wrote in their publication, The Final Call, that the seeds of a black nation are already taken root in Mississippi. And that's as a result of a black man that had integrity, that, like you said, you know, dealt with hypocrisy and allowed it to roll off his back and not be afraid. And I just certainly appreciate you sharing your thoughts tonight. And I know, Mari, you do on a lot and getting a lot of things prepared, you know, as you guys break free. Like you said, the weather up there is radical. You know, it's about to be, supposed to hit spring, and you know, we don't have that. I was able to talk with some of the staff at the mayor's office, Miss Halima, and Miss Shirley, just for a moment to send my condolences to them, as well as my family, praying for their family. We're going to be just going into a lot more, and I really appreciate you, Mario, what you're doing. You're doing a lot in Nashville, and I truly appreciate you just taking this moment. I know you got a lot going on, so I'm not going to hold you up, and I'm just going to get out of here tonight, and we'll be tuning in all week long, everyone, to celebrate and talk about the life of this powerful man, and all the other black powerful men. It's just ironic that President Obama, Mario, has really started to reach out to young black men. I think it's my brother's keeper thing that he's doing, you know, as well as what you do, and reaching out to not just black men, but just young men altogether. Because you know what, this country, and you know, in the next 20 years, will not have a race problem. I don't believe that. I really do. I really believe that race will not be a factor, because everybody is truly mixing and matching, as I call it. And you know, I really appreciate the conversations that we've had over the years. And you know, up until I guess just recently, Mario, I'll just let everybody know, I never realized the impact that always hit you on a day-to-day basis being a black man. So as a sister, I just want to say thank you for, you know, just leading by example. And you know, as somebody who's very dear to us and my family, you know, as a brother, you know, you really, you know, nobody ever is there for you all. You know, if you all show weakness, then, you know, we look at you in a negative situation. So we take advantage of our black men so often, sisters, that, you know, we also all should be just as caring and giving as they are. And so I just want to thank you for just all the things that you do as being who you are.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate it. You know, and we just continue to struggle.
Well, I tell you, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, you all. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We got about 6 minutes left in the show, Mario. Is there anything special that you got going on that you want to let our listeners know that's coming up, or are you just kind of sitting back and trying to stay warm?
Well, right now, you know, just kind of just meditating on the future. You know, I got we're looking at probably here in the next couple of months, I'm getting back out on the road and doing some live performances for Back to Intimacy.
Uh-huh.
That's a CD that I have out, and it's actually for sale on my website, www.backtointimacy.com. You can check it out on CD Baby, Under the Next Level, and iTunes, and all of that under those titles. But yeah, other than that, you know, just really just trying to strategize and be prepared for the next episode, you know, whatever it may be.
Or the next level, as your stage name is, the next level. Ladies, I'm telling y'all need to get check out this man's CDs. Back to Intimacy is a wonderful, wonderful journey. So, Mario, I really want to thank you for tuning in and I mean, being a part of the show and being my co-host for tonight and just at the last minutes. And I also want to let everybody know that Seth Shakur, did call in, and I want to just reiterate that her quote was, "He created a life that they talked about." You'll be listening in for the family in the days to come. So we will be just kind of chiming out of the show for tonight. We're going to end this with "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And Mario, thank you, you guys, and have a great night, okay?
All right. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
But I know